The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Midlin Bidlin. Producer number 9 is here as well. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing okay. A couple blowouts last night, man.
As great as Sunday was, oh boy, Drek yesterday.
NFL, you can take one of those games back. Move it back to Sunday. Give me another Monday night football game next week.
We'll talk about these games briefly. We're not going to get too far into them. There's not a whole bunch more to say. I'll ask you more macro questions about this game coming up here. Drew Densick joins us today to talk NFL, what he bet this past week, what he's betting this week, more importantly, what he's got in pocket, what he's thinking about betting. Todd Wright on a little fantasy, who to play, who to not play, I guess, who to sit, who to start. Mark Borchardt, Paul Spora on baseball. I have made one bet every day in Major League Baseball from Friday to Saturday to Sunday to Monday, which was already added on to a previous bet I had, Kelly. I continue to bet the Atlanta Braves to win the NL East every day. So I now have a plus 175, a plus 190, a plus 190, a plus 175, and a plus 170. Because
I respect the determination.
Listen, because I don't know if they're going to do it, but that price is not right to me. And we'll get into all of that with Borchardt and Spore, with the Mets having a big win last night in a game that was really a coin flip, a Scherzer versus Burns. Scherzer wins his 200th and is perfect through six, but he was on a pitch count. He hadn't pitched in 15 days, and they just pull him. So we've had two of those this year, right? The Kershaw game way back when, yeah. And now the Scherzer game. We're like, history schmystery.
This one you're more okay with, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, like this one you're more okay with.
It's still frustrating to me, I think, to watch that. Like, that has to be up to Scherzer, in my opinion, which I don't know how much of it really was.
Listen, he'd be the last guy to get pulled willingly, so he was obviously cool
with
it, too.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
I would imagine.
Yeah, because I remember watching that Kershaw one earlier this year, and I was like, what are you doing to this guy? Let him finish this!
That was not fun. Mets have 13 games left. Braves have 15 games left. They have three against each other in Atlanta. It is tied in the loss column currently. So it's going to go down to the wire, but it is a fun bet to have going. So I just keep pounding that. Some NFL news and notes here. By the way, Pete Futak will join us on college football as well. Kelly and I talk Survivor Week 3. Oh, boy, did you look at this slate for Survivor?
Oh, yeah. We got an interesting discussion coming up, man, because I have no idea what I'm playing.
Good Lord.
I mean, I think we should feel lucky, I guess, to get to week three, considering, like, what, right. 62% of the people are out of it? 67%?
What'd you do in year one? Week 14. What'd you do in week two? Week eight. Year two. Week eight. How about year three? Well, I've gotten to week three, and I'm pretty satisfied.
I'm pretty happy about it.
It's a good run. It's a good run this year. Buccaneers are signing Cole Beasley. Apparently, Tom Brady had him in his sights. And they've signed him to the practice squad, a source confirmed to ESPN, adding the 11-year veteran to a shorthanded wide receiving core. It's a cry for help for the Bucs or the wide receiving core. And then per Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, the Bucs, we mentioned this yesterday on Guessing Lines, Tom Brady getting a personal day every Wednesday for the remainder of the season. While Tampa Bay intends to provide several of its veterans with rest days during the season, there's an emphasis on Brady receiving the time to be with his family. Kelly? You get Wednesdays off rest of the year. How about that?
All right, cool. Sounds good.
Be with your family.
I appreciate it. I need time to spend with my family.
You've earned it. You're a 45-year-old veteran.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Ja'Marr Chase. Do you see this Ja'Marr Chase quote for the
Bengals? Yes, that stood out to me.
Quote, I just think people know how to adjust to us now. Talking about the 0-2 Bengals, his team. I feel like we need to learn to make more adjustments in-game. Everybody knows what we're going to do now. So everyone knows what to expect when we play. Wow. Ja'Marr Chase already... putting the coaches on notice.
I was going to say that. I mean, that's a calling out of the coaching staff without directly throwing them under the bus, but you really did. Like, you did.
They may come up in Survivor talk, by the way. The 0-2 Bengals.
I mean, I don't really know how you feel about that team. Like, I still think they're going to get back on track a bit this year.
I
now,
do too.
I think the expectations for them heading into this year and how they finished last year were a little... You know, they were a little over their heads on what they could or what their expectations were, but I expect them to bounce back a bit. But that's kind of a concerning note.
Bengals 0-2, Raiders 0-2, Colts 0-1-1. Who is the most likely of those three to come back and still win their division?
Oh man, has to be the Colts because the division's was still
that's
so
right.
weak.
And not to mention that they're not 0-2, they're 0-1-1. But yeah. It has to be the Colts, right?
Yeah.
To make the playoffs, I would answer the Colts as well.
And you haven't seen, like, those odds have not wildly adjusted. I think they're like +150 I saw yesterday. That might even have gotten shorter after last night with the Titans going down. Looking that up right now, actually.
Oh, I was wondering what you were saying.
+150 Colts to win the AFC South. They're still the short shot.
Yeah.
Titans +180 Jags 3-1 Texans 15-1
I still think the Colts should be the short shot. Urban Meyer, in case you were wondering, has had no contact with the University of Nebraska and is expected to stay at Fox and pass on coaching opportunities, according to Pete the Mel of ESPN. As I said, when I saw the first Fox broadcast of college football this year and Urban Meyer was there, I was like, really? You guys decided you couldn't do this without him, huh? Pretty interesting.
Who wants to go to coach in Nebraska? I'm like, you've done everything Urban's done, like you're going to go to Nebraska?
Yeah, no.
I caught that rumor over the weekend. I'm like, no, there's no way.
We love you, Omaha.
Yeah.
And thanks for that Ole Miss College World Series title, by the way. Appreciate it. All right, last night, doubleheader, National Football League. We don't have to harp on these guessing line style too much, but Tennessee at Buffalo. Buffalo just rolls the Titans 41-7. Tannehill completed 11 forward passes. 11 for 20 for 117, no touchdowns, two picks, sacked twice. The Titans only had 11 first downs the entire game. They were outgained 414-187. And of course, most significantly, they were -4 in turnovers. They had 4, the Bills had none. Oh, by the way, for good measure, they had 9 penalties for 87 yards. They did get frisky early when they had a 4th-and-1 at the 2. They were down 7-0. They went for it. Derrick Henry made it 7-7, and you thought, hey, are the Titans going to mess with the Bills again? No. That was it. Josh Allen, 26-38 for 317, 4 touchdowns, no picks, once sacked. Stephon Diggs, half a game.
Mm-hmm.
Have 2.5 quarters. Diggs, 12 catches for 148 and 3 touchdowns. Fantasy owners were loving that. But here's basically it. Here's the game in the nutshell. Just go drive by drive. Bills, first drive, they go 3-of-3 on third downs. They lead to a 7-0 lead. Second drive, at 7-7, they had a 4th-and-1 at the Tennessee 35, 125 left in the first quarter. They went for it and failed. Again, at that point, you're like, maybe this is a game. But then here it goes. Third drive, they convert a 4th-and-1 at the Tennessee 26 with 7:25 left in the second quarter. They end up with a field goal, 10-7. Fourth drive, convert a 4th-and-1 at the Tennessee 4 with 107 left in the second quarter. Allen to Diggs, 17-7. Fifth drive, Allen to Diggs for 46, 24-7. Sixth drive, field goal, 27-7. Seventh drive, after a Jordan Poyer pick, Allen to Diggs for 14 more, 34-7. And then a pick six of Tannehill by Mike Milano to make it 41-7, just under 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And that ended the competitive portion of that football game, because everybody sat at that point. 41-7, well before the third quarter even ended. And so the only question I have to ask of this, because there's no real need to harp on this, but I just, you know, again, for those of us of a certain age, we remember a pre-free agency NFL, where teams like the Niners, or in 85, the Bears, but certainly the Cowboys in the early 90s, Washington teams, they would just come out of the chute, and you're like, oh, this team's winning the Super Bowl. And they would lose maybe 1-2 games all season long. Now, since free agency kicked in, right, early 90s, after the Cowboys dynasty, we really haven't had that so much. Some would argue the 2007 Patriots. They ended up losing the Super Bowl, of course. But the Patriots have had great teams and have won Super Bowls, but not like these. You don't think of them in the same way you think of those 80s and 90s teams. Do the Bills sniff of that? Do you get the feeling when you watch the Bills, you're like, oh my goodness, like this team, I'm not saying they're going undefeated because everybody manages to lose 1 or 2, but good God, are they that much better than everybody else?
Here's the thing. They're a great team. They are a great team, and they're the best team in the NFL, I believe.
Lose this week, by the way, but yeah.
What kind of team is this, though, if, let's say those teams switch quarterbacks last night. How good is this Bills team? That's how much respect I've got for Josh Allen. I don't know that this team is... They have one of, if not the best quarterback in the league playing on their team right now. And the guy who can do the most damage, in my belief, do the most damage as one single man on a football field possibly can, affects the game more than anybody else in the league, in Josh Allen, with what he can do with his arm and legs. So my question is, the problem, if he goes down, right, like this team's done and dusted. And yeah, you could say that about a ton of teams in the NFL. My point is, I don't think they're in that class of absolute world beater teams overall. I think they've got a good team with a great quarterback.
The fact that it just came up in my head, though, like, yeah, right, that was like, wow, I haven't had that thought about any team in a while.
I got a question for you on that game last night. So what do we have? Week six is the bye for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill, your starting quarterback after that?
I'll tell you what I thought about Tannehill last night, which is, when things aren't going well, I'm just not seeing enough from him emotionally to not have me annoyed by him.
It's
right?
been his entire career, Gil, where when he has good weapons around him, he can be a serviceable quarterback in this league. We've seen those weapons drop off slightly in Tennessee. I think he's going to get exposed this entire season. I think that we're likely seeing Willis sooner rather than later. I mean, obviously, we saw him a bit in the game last night when it became a blowout. But I'm telling you, I think after that week seven game against the Colts, I wouldn't be surprised if he's suiting up.
So 0-2 now for the Titans after they get upset by the Giants, remember, last week. Now it's home game versus the Raiders, at the Colts, who are ornery, at the Commanders before the bye in week six, early bye. It could be an ugly record here before the bye, for sure.
They could be 0-5.
It could be. They would take, my goodness, 2-3 in a heartbeat right now.
In a minute.
We'll get into the Vikings, of course, and that debacle last night against the Eagles. The Eagles looking absolutely spectacular. We'll ask Drew Dinsick of this off the top. What did you learn more from that game? That the Eagles are just that good, or the Vikings, Kelly, are the same old Vikings? Did you have that thought? Because you and me are Team Vikings.
A little bit of both. We will talk about it more. I think the Eagles, they looked really good last night, though.
And Kirk Cousins was everything I remembered him to be. Oh, no. What a just disaster that was. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side to discuss all that and more. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. It won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So game two of the Drek doubleheader last night. Philadelphia destroys the Vikings in a game where the final score did not really indicate how bad this was. 24-7 in favor of the Eagles. Cousins, 27 of 46, 221, one touchdown, three picks, sacked twice. Justin Jefferson held to six catches for 48 yards. The Eagles led this 24-7 for much of this game. Second and 10 for the Vikings. Here's just the worst sequences of the game here in the second half. Second and 10 for the Vikings at the Philly 19, 10:01 left in the third quarter. Cousins picked off by Darius Slay. Troy Aikman telling us that was Justin Jefferson's fault. But then fourth and six for Philadelphia at the Minnesota 22, 3:26 left in the third quarter, still 24-7. Jake Elliott's field goal attempt gets blocked. Chris Boyd returns it, and while he's returning it, you're like, oh, please get in the end zone. If you're backing Minnesota, you better get in the end zone because you know the offense is going to mess this up. Sure enough, he doesn't get in the end zone, and three plays later, Cousins is picked by Avonte Maddox. Fourth quarter, Philly still up 24-7, the eventual final score. Second and 11 at the Philly 24, 7:36 left. Hurts is picked on a deflected ball by Jordan Hicks, and you're thinking, oh, Hicks better take it to the house. He better take it to the house because there's no way the offense is going to get it in there. Sure enough, he doesn't. First and goal at the Philly 9, incomplete. Second and goal, another that should have been picked by Darius Slay. And then third and goal, it was intercepted by Darius Slay. Meanwhile, Hurts was 26 of 31 for 333, one touchdown, one pick, sacked three times, 11 carries for 57 and two touchdowns, 486 total yards for the Eagles. Plus two in turnovers.
He looked good. I want to say he looked really good, but it also felt like there was wide open wide receivers just running everywhere for the Eagles last night.
So that's what I said, because Parles was like, wow, the Eagles are great. I'm like, dude, there's nobody on the screen.
It was crazy.
On defense. And it looked like Darius Slay knew every play. and every route.
There's that. Just breaking down this box score real quick. I mean, Kirk Cousins is your leading rusher for the Vikings. Like, how many games did we see like that this weekend where, like, you have a star running back roll in there and put up an absolute dud? I mean, you know, happened last night in the Titans game, too, with Henry.
So let's bring in Drew Dinsick from the Bet the Edge and, of course, Deep Dive podcast, Bet the Edge from NBC Sports, which he does multiple times a week. And, of course, then the Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. To ask him, I guess, the biggest takeaway from that game last night, the second of the two games, Drew. And by the way, good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
So,
yeah.
What's the big takeaway? That the Eagles are just that good, or that the Vikings are the same old Vikings and Kirk Cousins is the same old Kirk Cousins?
Well, Kirk Cousins is going to continue to have to answer these questions about his primetime performances until he proves otherwise. And that's not a great monkey to have on your back, surely. But I think the major takeaways... more around the Eagles. The Eagles were in a tremendous spot. Obviously, you know, that the link, if you didn't already know from their incredible playoff run several years ago, that place can get going. When it's like a big time game, primetime game, when you have high stakes in any given game at that venue, it is awesome. One of the kind of last remaining sort of true blue home field advantage spots in the NFL. And I think, you know, Vikings coming off of a big time divisional win where they sort of put all their cards on the table against the Packers, having to turn around and face the Eagles in that environment was not a great situation for the Vikings to be in. And then the Eagles, you know, they played the game that way the game state was sort of dictated by the way they wanted to play. Right. They wanted to take the lead. They wanted to have sort of control of the game state. And I think things broke pretty perfectly for them. So I don't know that you can read a ton into that, aside from the fact that the Eagles have now gotten over a couple of potential bumps in the road early in the season. And, you know, if you look down the rest of their schedule, there just are not a lot of elite quarterbacks that they face between now and the end of the year, particularly with Dak Prescott likely not being available for week 6. They get Commanders, Jags, Cardinals, Cowboys into the bye, and then they come out Steelers, Texans, Commanders again, Colts. You know, we're talking about getting to Thanksgiving before you've played an elite quarterback. And, you know, realistically at that point in time, they could be in cruise control for the one seed in the NFC. The NFC is weak. The Eagles, you know, don't necessarily, to me, look like a team that's going to be able to find playoff success just because of some of the, you know, inexperience, particularly with Jalen Hurts. But, you know, they're going to win regular season games. They're going to be in, you know, controlling their own destiny, as far as I can tell you, as far as getting the one seed in the NFC. And with that is going to come consideration for Sirianni for Coach of the Year. It's going to come with consideration for Hurts for MVP if he can get, you know, put together some cleaner performances. And, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, the Eagles are about as complete a team as exists in its current state in the NFC.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, the best bet, I'm looking, what's the best bet here? Eagles are -210 already to win the NFC East. That's wow. Clearly not it, right? What you were saying, the other bets by proxy might be the better way to go. Yeah, either Sirianni route or the Hurts route. Like, that's probably the way to play this now, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm pretty sure we talked about this in the preseason when we were kind of breaking down the Eagles and, so, you know, the week schedule. Like, if things clicked, if Hurts took a step forward, you know, they were like in the 20-1 range to be the one seed in the NFC. And so kind of swinging for some of those longer shots made more sense at that time. And again, I'm kind of postulating that once Philly comes up against the elite quarterbacks in the playoffs, the likes of the Packers, Bucks, and Rams in particular, you know, that's when you start to worry a little bit about Hurts. You know, can he go score for score with those offenses if they are kind of have found their form? You know, currently, of course, they would match up pretty well against the Bucks in that offense. But, you know, by the time we get to the end of the season, I would expect that sort of those veteran led teams with, you know, quarterbacks that have had, you know, histories of playoff success are going to be tough outs for the Eagles, even if they are at home. You know, all that said, though, I look at they still have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL, and it's not close. I mean, anyone in the NFC has by default an easier schedule than the AFC. And, you know, we're talking rare air here if they get up to like 14, 15 wins. But, you know, tough for me to see that either even like the likes of the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are truly the elite teams in the NFL, you know, they may even have a tough time kind of getting into that. level of wins this season, considering, you know, how difficult their schedules are. So things are breaking for Philly, as far as I can tell.
We'll learn a lot about them this week. I mean, it is a road game against the Commanders. The Commanders have given them a little trouble over the years in a weird kind of way. By the way, the Eagles to win the NFC East, I just happened to look at the Will Hill number, our proud sponsor, BetMGM, minus 165. So shop around. I mean, minus 165, maybe you grab that now and just file it, because it may not ever get better than that. So we'll see if they go on a run out here. Your other biggest, so let's go back to Sunday. I mean, give me a, I asked you this last week, and I'll ask you this again, which is, what was your biggest takeaway in terms of being completely counter to what your preconceived notions were? Like, what did you learn where you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming?
I got duped by the Seattle Seahawks into thinking that that offense was going to be in any way, shape, or form progressive. They tacked directly back into the way that Pete Carroll operated, you know, throughout the years, after showing you a very aggressive, pass friendly, and, you know, just in general looked progressive in terms of a game plan against the Broncos on Monday night. I thought that total was going to be, you know, fair to the over. That was probably my worst play of the week. You know, I think I hang a lot of that on counting on Pete Carroll for anything. You know, I think still the Niners did their job in that matchup. I still rate the Seattle defense very low. Market has them like in around a middling defense as far as defensive rating. I'm in like bottom five. That was a rough one. And then I took a decent amount of Cincinnati futures after their week one loss, thinking that that was sort of the get the rust out moment. But they sure looked rusty against the Cowboys in week two. This is sort of a do or die week for me and the Bengals. Looking at their matchup against the Jets, I think it's favorable for the Bengals in a lot of ways. I think this 4.5 is about 2.5 points too light. So Bengals are going to be a big side for me this week. And then if they don't finally show up, it's going to be a reckoning about exactly how I have these guys rated.
We were saying Ja'Marr Chase already sniping at the coaching staff. Like, everybody knows what we're doing. Everybody knows what to expect. We make no adjustments.
I like that. I was sniping at the coaching staff I was watching the game. You know, Zach Taylor is fundamentally holding them back at this point. And we joked about this in the offseason, but, you know, having the success you had sort of unexpectedly last year and kind of, you know, making Zach Taylor the long-term solution there might ultimately be a problem for the Bengals. Cause I, you know, a lot of the scheme things, particularly the way that he is kind of telegraphing the run plays, is easy for defenses to sniff out. Obviously everybody saw the trends in the film as they broke down and prepared for the Bengals for this season, at least early in the season. And I think until they come up with some wrinkles, they're in a little bit of trouble offensively.
Yeah. Except for the fact that franchise never fires coaches, right? They like keep you for as long as you want to be there, they will keep you. So Drew likes the Bengals, laying the points against the Jets, I would imagine, here on Sunday. We'll clarify that after the break. What else does he like? Bet any tennis this week? We'll get into all that. More NFL on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance, recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video, season prep. That includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Pro tools like our exclusive betting splits and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Kelly, this was the night where we were supposed to go to the Game 5 decider of the WNBA championship between the Aces and the Sun, but the Aces went ahead and won it this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, instead, my WNBA season ended in Game 2, after Game 2, because I didn't watch anything on Thursday or Sunday.
None of us did. I didn't know till Danielle texted me. And then she said, even if there was a Game 5, it wouldn't have been at their home arena. And I'm like, what?
Yikes.
So that's how bad the WNBA botched that. Congratulations, though, Las Vegas Aces. You are Las Vegas' first professional champion.
Is there a parade today?
Yeah, we have a parade.
That in the paper, right?
Is there a parade?
Right? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where, but somewhere here.
Ah, the buzz is palpable. I mean, someone
I had to check in with Sean because you know he's got it in the newspaper over there. Today.
No game tonight, Kelly. Just leaves you more time to chase down that chess story.
Oh, that's right. Bellagio? Bellagio is where? Yeah, see, Sean knows all about it.
Bellagio?
Caesars to Bellagio.
Oh, I'm so there. Maybe not.
The whole parade is from Caesars to Bellagio? That's like a last
They're taking the tram? Is that what they're doing? That's terrible. All right, Drew Dinsick joins us. Once again, Drew, just to clarify, you're laying the points with the Bengals against the Jets?
Yeah, I laid 4.5 there. I think that should be 6.
What else have you bet so far?
Let's see. For the most part, the sides are still available. Totals so far, at least in this young season, most of the market making offshores are taking legitimate action early in the week. And so you're starting to see at least the totals be pretty aggressively shaped on Mondays. I think a good example is the Niners Broncos total yesterday. They were taking 3K a pop, and there was, it looks like, about 10 clicks in the matter of a few minutes in the middle of the day there, and it got bet up from 43.5 to 45. That was against me. I had the under 43.5 there. So very much underwater on the Sunday Night Football total there. I did get ahead of the under on the Green Bay Packers Tampa Bay line. Obviously, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all universe defense. I think they match up absolutely brilliantly against Green Bay. Even when Green Bay has weapons in the passing game, I think they are the perfect matchup for an Aaron Rodgers offense. And I think, Tampa Bay's offense still long, long, long way from their final form, expecting a pretty run heavy approach from them against Green Bay with their light sets. So that game should still go under the total of 41, although that's obviously a lot closer. I laid the points with the Bengals. I laid the points with the Chiefs, and I laid the points with the Ravens. I think those are three favorites that are a little short. The Ravens is an interesting handicap because, I thought their defense was pretty obviously exposed by speed last week with the Dolphins in the comeback mode. And the New England Patriots really do not have weapons that can threaten that secondary the way that the Dolphins did. And I think really the Ravens offense is a step above what I had previously rated them in terms of their ability to move the ball through the air. Lamar Jackson already finding decent chemistry with his weapons in the passing game, willing to run the football when necessary. I think that they cover in style against the Patriots. So I laid the 3. The Chiefs handicap is straightforward. Pat Mahomes versus Gus Bradley. No points are enough. And then finally, the Atlanta Falcons took them on the money line to beat the Seahawks. Falcons doing something a little nifty here. This was one of the worst travel spots in the NFL. If you looked at sort of the balance of the calendar, Falcons had to play at LA this last week and then at Seattle the following week. Looks like they requested that because they wanted to do a little West Coast road trip. They are staying the week up in Seattle at the University of Washington, doing sort of a concentrated little mini camp. When teams do this early in the season, I absolutely love this spot because you're taking all the distractions away from a young team. You basically get an entire concentrated week of preparation. And in general, we see teams who go through this, whether it be West Coast teams staying east for a week, which is sort of the Niners, they've made that part of their DNA the last handful of seasons, or Patriots have done it, going west, staying a week in years past. And I'm excited to see the Falcons embrace this. I think you're going to get a really solid performance out of them. And, it's kind of crazy to me because you watch this Falcons team and Mariota is clearly performing above average level of NFL quarterbacks, considering who's out there right now playing quarterback in the NFL. And yet people are still like, he's probably going to be the first quarterback benched. We should see what Ritter's got. And it's literally like they are not that far away from getting some hard fought wins here. Like,
they had the ball. They had that on their racket, as we like to say, to win that game.
It was
game
on their
week.
Racket. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey had to make an all universe play in order to steal that win for the Rams. The Falcons team continues to be way, way underrated by market. Right now, the market has them in the bottom. Bottom tier, bottom cluster, along with the likes of the Jets and the Texans, and I'm just not even close to there. I think that offense is very live. So Falcons on the money line is a fair play in my book.
So you said something interesting there that I don't want to let slide. You said I think the Falcons requested it. So are you suggesting that the NFL then is open to the Falcons? Obviously, know they're playing the Rams on the road and the Seahawks, or they see on the schedule that's what they're going to have. Yeah. So they will say to the league, hey, could you put those back to back? And the league will honor that? They'll grant that?
Yeah, I think 4 years ago, the league came out and said we will acknowledge requests from teams if they want to put, for logistic purposes. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were kind of famous for requesting this back in like the 2008-09 range. They had like one season where they were traveling west four times in 1 year, and they grouped both, they grouped a two and a two early and a late, and they stayed over both times. And we saw the Niners do this. The Niners absolutely, acknowledged they requested it a handful of years ago, where they played. I think they played Tampa Bay, went to, Ohio, spent the week preparing, came out week two against the Cincinnati Bengals. And they were just like probably one of the most like a 99th percentile performance from that team after a week of preparation. You saw the Niners do it again last year. The Niners are doing it this year. They're playing Carolina and Atlanta back to back, which to me smells like they're going to go to the Greenbrier for that week in between and do sort of this mini camp approach.
Yeah.
I think it's a good strategy if you're a coastal team and you have a couple of road games across country on your schedule, putting them together and then using that as an opportunity to improve your team as opposed to wear your guys down by traveling across the country twice.
I think
I love it.
Yeah, I think most of us are aware that the requests are made. I guess what I'm trying to get at is I wonder if we'll ever know the rate of that being granted, right? So like I wonder if behind the scenes some team doesn't get that granted as like, wait a minute, you did it for them. I don't know.
I think it's universally granted.
Okay.
There are some funny wrinkles in the schedule that like Patriots are the best example. The Patriots must put in 15 requests a year. And one of them every single year is we want to play someone off the bye who is also coming off the bye, because this is like the fifth straight season where their bye opponent, their post bye opponent also had a bye that week.
But
I don't know. I have no idea why they're asking for this, but it cannot be an accident that that's happened 5 years in a row.
That's interesting. By the way, Greenbrier, is that where the presidential bunker is underground also, like in case of disaster? That's where I think there is that as well, where the Niners
are. It's in that area, West Virginia. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
America's oldest resort.
Kelly Villa. America's oldest resort. There you go. The Patriots request to play another team off a bye, which would be counterintuitive, right, as you're saying.
It would be.
Yeah.
It's almost like Belichick is convinced his team comes out not focused or something.
So he's betting on the other team being that way too. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Something like that.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So that's a bevy of picks. Chiefs laying the points on the road. Ravens laying the points on the road. Falcons, road team. You're taking them. The Bucks thing. Remember with the Bucks, no Mike Evans this week, one game suspension for his, antics. Let's call it that.
Appealing today, but I don't know what would change.
No, he's protected his quarterback, man. Well, what else is he supposed to do? That's what he said. So there you go on that. Keep that in mind. I think I might like the Bucks. I like the Bucks on guessing lines yesterday, too. I couldn't believe it was quite that short. The Bucks seem like just a team that you can't make a total low enough, at least the way they're playing, based on how their offense and defense look.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised that the market is not here yet. It's because this is a team that in a defense that was so well respected through the last handful of years. And last year, even they were priced like an all universe defense, but they, half the secondary or three quarters of the secondary was hurt for the balance of the season. Now they are at full strength and they upgraded their defensive line by bringing in Akeem Hicks. Like this unit is as talented as any defense I've seen on paper in the last 5 years. And, at full strength, they are just an absolute nightmare matchup. Buccaneers covered last week because of the pick six. They're not, they created five turnovers over the balance of that game last week. That was the difference. They absolutely smothered the Cowboys week one. And I would expect they continue to dictate games.
All right, Drew, real quick. Any tennis today? One word. Anything you're playing?
I have no, only futures for me this time of year.
Okay.
Zhang Xinwen. In Tokyo. Let's go.
Yeah.
I got her in the outright market.
I have her against Badosa today.
Let's go.
That's true. Let's go. We're simpatico at least on that. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Todd Wright on the other side with some fantasy talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt in to the one-game parlay insurance promotion. Then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. And if you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. It's the greatest radio host of all time, All Night with Todd Wright, back in the day at ESPN. Of course, he has the Todd Wright Toddcast and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast available where all podcasts are distributed. Coincidentally, it's Todd Wright, everybody. How you doing, Todd?
As always, thank you for your kindness, Gil. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Just let me get your take real quick about the four teams last night, both from a football perspective and I guess from a fantasy perspective as well.
In no particular order, for fantasy owners who thought Kirk Cousins was a QB1, no. Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has touched the ball 35 times the first 2 weeks. That's the exact same amount of touches as Cordarrelle Patterson. He is worth rostering or a flex play or a desperate RB2. As far as the Titans, week one knee-jerk reaction on waivers for those who thought Kyle Phillips was the next Julian Edelman. You might want to pump the brakes on that. And Stephon Diggs, even without Gabe Davis to draw coverage away,
yeah.
Diggs was wide receiver 7 in my fantasy settings last year. I see no reason he won't be top 5 as long as he's injury-free this year.
Okay, we thought we'd have you here on a Tuesday because a lot of people are want to know, of course, who to start, who to bench, but more specifically, perhaps who to cut and then claim. So let's start with one to start throughout the league.
Gil, I won my podcast league last year, and the $1,000 prize that went with it from a local car dealership because I kept rotating 49er running backs in the Kyle Shanahan offense. And now, especially that Trey Lance is out of there, and you're not going to get too many quarterback sneaks from Jimmy Garoppolo. Jeff Wilson is my guy. I played him last week after Eli Mitchell went out week one. Despite another running back touching the ball nearly 15 times, who's now out another month and a half, Jeff Wilson had 20 touches. I would imagine he'll be even more involved going forward with Garoppolo under center. So Jeff Wilson, to me, is one to start.
Yeah, by the way, under Kyle Shanahan, leading rushers by season for the Niners, 2017, Carlos Hyde, 2018, Matt Breida, 2019, Raheem Mostert, 2020, the aforementioned Jeff Wilson, 2021, Elijah Mitchell. Just one guy after another, to your point.
2022, Jordan Mason. 2023, Jordan Mason, right? Looking ahead.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, what about a player that's currently rostered that it's just time for the owner of said player to bench?
Well, Gil, I know you're going to be stunned. I'm going to pick on fantasy tight ends.
Yes.
For those that said after week one, oh, Kyle Pitts, that's an aberration. He did the exact same thing in week two. I mentioned how Cordarrelle Patterson in Atlanta has touched the ball 35 times. Kyle Pitts has touched it 4 times. And Drake London, Marcus Mariota keeping it under center. Yeah, Kyle Pitts at this point is one to bench until further notice.
Okay, one to bench. How about in looking, obviously somebody's going to have to grab someone to fill their roster this week. What about a player to cut? Like, who's a player? It's one thing to bench him. What's a player that shouldn't even be rostered right now?
Unfortunately, it's Juju Smith-Schuster until we see otherwise. This was supposed to be the veteran, experienced ad for the Kansas City Chiefs that was actually going to stand out among all the other wide receivers, not like a Tyreek Hill, but still coming off what he did early in his career in Pittsburgh. Through 2 weeks, Gil, he looks like just another wide receiver option out there and nothing special at all for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. Nothing special at all. I don't see a lot of value there until we see one or two games where Schuster does something significant.
Okay, and then the real question, the player out there that is, let's say, widely available, that is the one to claim on waivers.
I'll ask your opinion on this in your wheelhouse. I think it's Jahan Dotson.
Yes.
There's a history of the first wide receiver picked in the NFL draft generally produces that year. You got to look within the numbers here. Dotson hasn't done a lot, but he's touched the ball, I think it's 8 times. 4 of those have been in the end zone, including a 2-point conversion. So sure, he's not the number one or even number two option for Carson Wentz. But when it really counts, which isn't a bad thing in fantasy football, Jahan Dotson already has the trust of Carson Wentz, and I think it's only going to get better.
I mean, to answer your question, he's the only rookie of the year bet I made before the season started, 40-1. It's probably the bet that I had the least thinking involved in, right? Where I was just like, just on a hunch going with it. And so far, so good. 40-1. He is a co-short shot to win Rookie of the Year at this point.
With Breece Hall?
Who is the co-short shot? Is it, what was Pickens last week? It was still okay. Sort of a carryover. I don't know what it is right now.
But
Kelly's on that as well. Okay, so trades. People are obviously offering trades left and right. Before we get into a specific example in one of your leagues, how about a buy low guy and a sell high guy?
If you can acquire a Joe Mixon at this point, buy low, I would take it. The Bengals are going to get this figured out. Yeah, the offensive line and 0-2. But Joe Mixon is still the guy out there. And he's going to eventually get in the end zone. I mean, he was a top 4 running back in my scoring settings last year. I think the first 2 weeks are kind of an aberration for the Bengals and for Joe Mixon. The usage is there. If someone's willing to dump him cheap, you take him right now.
All right. And then the same could be said for Najee Harris, would you say?
Yes, I would. Although I worry a little bit about the foot injury with Harris, but still the Steeler passing game looks like it may transition from Trubisky to Pickett here at some point in the coming weeks. Najee is still what I call the volume vacuum, even if he's not 100%. He'll play hurt. Mike Tomlin is still going to give him the ball plenty. If someone wants to dump him, you take him too.
What'd you say, Kelly? Dotson 6-1? Is that what we're seeing?
Dotson 8-1. Drake London at 6-1.
Drake London, after his performance, creeps ahead of Dotson. So 6-1 on London. All right, who's the sell high then? Who's the guy? I think I might be able to guess this, but let's see.
Yeah, he was one of my untouchables coming into the year, and now suddenly he's hurt, and the Saints' offense doesn't look like much, and that's Alvin Kamara. I mean, this is a guy with a fantasy football RB1 reputation, but Gil, last year, you know, he had a career high in carries, and his rushing touchdowns dropped from 16-4, and even though he had a career high in carries, he had a career low in receptions, and that was with Sean Payton. Now he's without Sean Payton and without Drew Brees. And we both know Jameis Winston not only threw the game away against Tampa Bay, but he's playing hurt. How long can he stay out there? So that at some point, Taysom Hill's going to get under center. That's even less fantasy points for Alvin Kamara. So to me, if you own Alvin Kamara and made that mistake of drafting him in the first round, you can get someone to give you first round value back. Take it now.
All right, Todd, we have about a minute left. You rule famously your leagues with an iron fist, I like to say, but you own it. You proudly do so, and I respect that about you. There was a trade. We always talk about funky trade offers and how you handle that. There's one that came across in your league. What was it?
2 real smart guys, and one smart guy was texting me, say, how do I get a hold of this other smart guy who lost Trey Lance? So what we have here is someone trying to vulture someone who lost their starting quarterback. Now, at the same time, he didn't have a lot in Trey Lance. He drafted all his wide receivers and all his running backs and then selected Trey Lance. So it's not like it's a huge setback for him. And to me, it's as simple as he picks up Jimmy Garoppolo on waivers and you go on with your life. But the other guy says, well, I have 3 QB1s. So I can trade him one of those, and I can get back Jamar Chase, who the other guy drafted in the first round. And I just keep texting him saying, what are you thinking here? You just picked up – one of them was Carson Wentz, by the way. And the other guy is an Eagles fan. So he's already down on Carson Wentz because, you know, Wentz went the way of Indy and then Washington, and the Eagles won the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. And I kept saying, no, don't do this. Don't be that guy. Don't try to vulture somebody when it's easy to pick up quarterback on waivers. And don't ask for his number one pick in return for a guy you claimed on waivers a week ago. He still did it. And obviously, the offer was quickly refused.
He's the laughing stock of the league. There's nothing quite as awesome as fantasy arrogance or fantasy self-serving trade offers. Todd, we appreciate it as always, man. Thank you.
Good to be with you, Gil.
You too. Todd Wright, everybody. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Remember, if you'd like the Eagles, you don't have to just run and bet them in futures markets, though that might be an option. Also, check out Markets by Proxy, Coach of the Year, MVP on Jalen Hurts. That's the best way to do it. Find the best bet. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show.